Morning. Today, our Bible reading is from Acts 1 and it's 1 to 11. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Let me introduce you to Eleanor from Lombardy in Italy and Ryan from Manchester. They quit their jobs in 2017. They bought a boat to sail around the world. They left Canary Islands late February to travel the 3,000 miles across the Atlantic to St. Vincent. They told their families that whilst they're away, they didn't want to receive any bad news. So they sailed across the Atlantic throughout March with no access to the news, nothing from the outside world, no phone signal, and they were totally unaware of the coronavirus pandemic that had swept the globe until 25 days at sea, they were stopped from docking their boat in the Caribbean. Now it is disorientating to find yourself in a world that is different from the one that you thought it was. To live in a bubble, unaware of reality, it can be blissful, but it's also not the real world. We need to dock in the real world at some point. Maybe over the past 10 weeks of lockdown, you've wished that you were blissfully in a bubble out at sea, away from a world that is struggling with COVID-19. Many people have asked big questions about the real world that we live in. What is the future? Where is God in all of this? What is he doing? Why are we here? You know, the real world that we live in, it is God's world. Problem is that our instinctive sinful nature is to live in God's world with little or no reference to him. But it means that much like Eleanor and Ryan, you end up living in an unreal bubble, not the real world. And at some point, you need to dock in the real world. Now, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11 is going to help us dock in the real world of today. And maybe for some of you listening in this morning, it will be disorientating to find yourself in a world that is different from the one that you thought it was, a world where Jesus Christ is not an expletive. He is not simply the leader of the world's largest religion. He's not surrounded by myths. He's not some irrelevant historical figure, but he is the Lord and he is the God of history. He is your maker, whom one day you'll stand before. Or whether you are not yet a Christian or been a Christian for many, many years, it is easy to drift out to sea spiritually. So let's dock in the real world this morning, where the mission of God in the world is what this world is all about. And as we dock in the real world, the first thing we see today is this: the messengers of God. The messengers of God. And it's there in verses 1 to 3 of Acts chapter 1. Acts is written by the gospel writer Luke. And in fact, in verse 1 of Acts 1, he refers back to his gospel. Look at verse 1. In my former book, he's talking about Luke, his gospel. He addresses who he's writing to. Theophilus is one of his friends. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So dock in the real world and you find that it is a world that has been visited by God in flesh, by Jesus Christ. And before he returned to heaven, Jesus briefed his followers on the mission of God in the world. And if we go back to the end of Luke's gospel, we can see exactly what Jesus told them, how he briefed them. They'd been in shock after Jesus had died, but the resurrection of Christ had changed everything for them. So let's turn back to Luke chapter 24. If you reverse in your Bible back through John's gospel, you'll find Luke and the last chapter, chapter 24. Now here we have Jesus alive from the dead. He's about to return to heaven. And he says to his friends, his disciples, this was all prophesied, his suffering, his resurrection. Look at Luke 24, verses 46 to 48. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So if we dock in the real world, we find that it is a world that Jesus, the Son of God, had to enter. He had to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. But then he rose from the dead as Lord and as King of all things. It is a world where Jesus sends his friends as his messengers to call the world to turn to you. He calls me, he calls you to turn, to repent, to turn away from our sin of living in God's world with little or no reference to him, and to trust in the death of Jesus for our forgiveness. Now, I wonder this morning, have you done that? Have you docked in the real world? Are you doing that today, putting your trust in him, turning from sin, trusting in Christ for forgiveness? You know, these words were Jesus' last words of briefing to his followers. A person's last words are often remembered. So Elizabeth I, Queen of England, died in 1603. Her last words were, all my possessions for a moment of time. Or the author Thomas Hobbes died in 1679. I'm about to take my last voyage, a great leap into the dark. Or Oscar Wilde died November the 30th, 1900. Either that wallpaper goes or I do. Or Adoniram Judson, American missionary to Burma, he said this, last words, I go with the gladness and the joy of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ. But Jesus' last words, these instructions to his disciples, they're last words with a difference. And here is why they matter so much. Because they're not dying words, but leaving words. They're not dying words, but leaving words. Jesus has already died and he's come back to life. And now he is leaving for heaven in his resurrected body, his real body. So have a look at Acts chapter 1. Go back to Acts 1 again. And look at verse 3, Acts 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, that's his disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So to dock in the real world is to hear news from the real world. That Jesus, he is alive from the dead, and he has returned to heaven, and he's commissioned his messengers to tell the world about his death, about his resurrection, and to call you, to call me to repent, to turn to him, and to put our trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Have you docked in the real world? Have you put your trust in Christ for salvation? Secondly, to dock in the real world is to see that we now live in the new age of the Spirit. So we've had the messengers of God proclaiming the good news of God, of Christ. But this happens in the new age of the Spirit. Have a look at verse 4 and verse 5 of Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's going on here is something brand new. Something that never happened before. You see, up until that point, throughout the whole of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit of God had filled people temporarily for acts of service, for acts of leadership. But this baptism of the Spirit was a new thing that Jesus now promises to every single believer, where every believer will be permanently the home of God, the Holy Spirit. And this started to happen at Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was an annual agricultural festival celebrating the start of harvest. People bought 2 loaves baked from the first grain and offered it to God at the temple in Jerusalem. And in an agricultural community, this was a joyful occasion. The scarcity of winter was giving way to the glorious taste of the first fruits of the year's harvest. It was the taste of more to come. But this Pentecost, well, there was some better things to celebrate. The death and resurrection of Jesus had made it possible for God the Holy Spirit to come and live in his people permanently. And that experience of the Holy Spirit of God is the first fruits, is the taste of the future, where God will dwell with his people in the new heaven and the new earth. Now, God seems distant to so many people. Maybe he does to you this morning. We need to dock in the real world. God is here, right now, where you are. And God is speaking right now to us in his word, the Bible. This is the real world where 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ stepped onto planet Earth to save you, to save me. And he calls you, he calls me, he calls us to repent of our sin, to trust in his death and resurrection for forgiveness. Do that, and you find that in that moment you are baptized with, you are immersed in the Holy Spirit of God as he comes to permanently live in your life. Now, there are many, many blessings that come as a result of that. Here's one of them. The messengers of God in the new age of the Spirit are empowered as Jesus witnesses. It's our third main thing we're looking at this morning. Empowered as Jesus witnesses. Now in verse 6, the disciples, they've got a question for Jesus. Have a look at it in verse 6. Then they gathered around Jesus and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, they could see before their very eyes Jesus alive from the dead. But the world, their world, was still in a mess. Their land was occupied by Roman oppressors. When would Israel be free? And so they asked Jesus, when will you restore your kingdom on earth? And Jesus answered them in verse 7. Have a look at it. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. To Jesus, he will restore God's kingdom on earth, but it's going to be in the future when he returns in power. But Jesus gives his followers his will, his priority for them now. Look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when the Holy Spirit came on them at Pentecost, which is what happens in Acts chapter 2, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit empowered them. People who had ran and they'd hidden away in fear when Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem, well, now they're standing before thousands of people in Jerusalem, and they are telling everyone, Jesus who died, he is now alive again. They spread this good news and this call to repent and to believe for salvation. And this good news went viral in the first century and has done down through the centuries. Operation World reports that in the past 50 years, evangelical Christianity grew more than any other world religion. In the 1960s, there were 89 million evangelicals. By 2010, there were 546 million. Mainly that growth was in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America. It's people who have docked in the real world as they've heard the good news that Jesus came to save and have come to know him as their savior and as their Lord. Let's go back to Eleanor and Ryan on their yacht sailing the Atlantic in March. They didn't want to be told any bad news whilst they're away. They were in this extraordinary bubble with no comprehension of the extraordinarily bad news gripping the whole of the world until they docked in the real world. Now imagine living in a bubble, not on a yacht in the Atlantic, but in the bubble of Western secularism that teaches that this world is all there is. Just live for here and now, what you can see. And when you die, you rot. Or in the bubble of an Islamic culture that teaches that Allah is great and the five pillars of religious and good deeds will earn you paradise. Or in the bubble of Eastern religions that teach that your karma will repay you what you deserve in the next life. I mean, imagine living in any bubble that effectively cut you off from seeing clearly the real world. The real world that Jesus came into 2,000 years ago, God in flesh. And he came to die for your forgiveness and to rise again that you might have eternal, real life with him forever beyond this life. And he calls you now to repent and to believe if you're to receive it. Imagine being in a bubble, not aware of that. Or not letting the gravity of that impact you. Imagine being spiritually at sea, ignorant of the world that is not gripped in bad news, but it is gifted with good news from Jesus Christ, the best news ever, that the global pandemic of sin that makes us God's enemies and brings misery and brings eternal death, that has a cure. And it's through trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, that is how we can be reconciled to God, our Maker, and how we can have eternal life. Now, you'd want to dock in that world, wouldn't you? And Jesus' disciples, Christians the world over, you today, if you're a Christian, are messengers of God to this world. Living in the new age of the Spirit, empowered as Jesus' witnesses to help people dock in the real world, to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's like our banner here from our church. Life's purpose is knowing Jesus and making him known. And the point at the bottom there is that we want to go and tell God's world this wonderful news that we can know God through Jesus. That's why it's so encouraging to hear Ben and Emily just now. We're going to hear from some others of our mission partners, people around the world and here in the UK who are seeking to make Jesus known. It's why it was so encouraging a couple of Thursdays ago on our live stream, hearing interviews with members of our church family who are sharing the good news of Jesus with friends and family in lockdown, helping people dock in the real world. It's why we're raising funds to rebuild our church building. Because beyond lockdown, we want a suitable space for more people, to help them dock in the real world, to come to know the Lord Jesus and to go on knowing him and thriving in him, the one who is the risen Lord. Now, if you're a Christian listening in today, wondering what is God's will for you in lockdown? Well, there may be many, many unknowns for you. But the big picture thing is very, very clear. God's will for you is that you are his messenger, living in the new age of the Spirit. You are empowered as Jesus' witness. And you have a job to do. And it is the best job in the whole wide world. See, our sinful nature, our instinct, is to turn off all communication with heaven. In our sin, in our unbelief, in our worldliness. Oblivious to the good news gifted to the world by Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, your job, your highest privilege is to help people who are spiritually at sea to dock in the real world where Jesus came to save them and cause them to repent, to turn to him and to put their trust in him for forgiveness. And although that task is a task that feels overwhelming, because unbelief is so great, our culture is so hardened to the gospel of Jesus, yet you have heaven behind you, and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and he is sufficient for the task. So lean hard into him for it. And it is a job that will never, ever be finished until Jesus returns as King. It's the last thing I want us to see very briefly here in verses 9 to 11. This is until Jesus returns as King. Look at verse 9. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. That is an extraordinary event, isn't it? The physical ascension of Jesus with his resurrected body back into heaven. And if you missed last Sunday's sermon on this, you missed a treat. Catch up online. Jesus, the Son of God, who beat death, is now exalted to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But he is going to return one day, as the angel says here. This is the real world that we live in, that we need to dock in. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says that Jesus will come on the clouds and every eye will see him. But until that glorious day, don't wish that you were in a bubble at sea, blissfully unaware and away from a world that's struggling through COVID-19, into the brokenness, into the pain of this world. In 2020, be God's messenger of good news. Knowing that you live in the wonderful age of the Holy Spirit living within you, so that you're empowered as Jesus' witness to help people to dock in the real world, to come to know Jesus as Lord, Jesus as Savior, before that great and that glorious day that he returns.